Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And this is Chauncey Williams with What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right, summer's half over.
Yes, it is, man. It's going quick. We got to get back in that classroom. We got one more. We got the last week of August where we start doing our PD, professional development.
Okay.
For the whole week. So looking forward to it, though. It's going to be fun. New year, new opportunities in the community to develop and do some things and to keep on building. So I see a lot of growth in this city. So it's going to happen.
Good, good. Yeah, whip our kids back in shape from being off over the summer.
Yeah.
Give them a couple weeks to get acclimated back to the classroom.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I've been coaching all summer, so it's like I've always been around kids and just different capacity and being able to. But it's good to see the students and see how you can challenge them the next year. But I was looking over my tax stuff that my accountant finished up me because I filed an extension. I was just looking over some things the other day, and I was like, hold up. And I knew I was paying for insurance, health insurance.
Oh, okay.
Tony, and I was just like, man, I'm paying $522 a month out of my check.
Yeah, those are real dollars.
But insurance, I remember a time where I wasn't paying nothing, and I had great insurance, and now I'm actually paying cash.
Yep, those are dollars you used to take home. Okay, now they're coming out of your check to pay for health care insurance.
Man.
You know, there's a couple things that's involved in that equation.
Yes.
One is the cost of health care, which is, increased dramatically. And then it's the benefits that teachers have gotten in the past are no longer on the table.
Okay.
Okay. Shrinking budgets in the school, not as much money coming from the state. So the superintendents and the school boards, they have to fashion the budget in order to, meet the needs. And one of the things is that they took that 100% paid medical off the table for teachers, and as well as other, even in the auto industry now, most places now don't have that 100% paid medical insurance like they did years ago. But unfortunately, you're a healthy person,
yeah,
and you probably don't use it to the extent that you think you're getting your money's worth.
That's right. I'm thinking about some things right now. Make you want to go back to hooping, huh? Like, to really just go back to training and just really go in.
Yeah, because if something happened, you're covered, right?
Knock on wood. Like, blow it. No, I might only do that because one of our coaches did blow his ACL.
We know about that. Wasn't a pretty picture, was it?
No, it was. So it's like looking at that, I'm like, it's blessed that he did have insurance, and that's why it's necessary to have it just in case. But it's like, man, $500, Tony, is a lot of money once a month.
Yeah.
Like, yes, there's a lot of other things you can do. But like you said, like if you get sick, if I choose to have some kids, certain ailment come that, God forbearing, that things don't like that don't happen, but you'll be like, I'm covered.
You're covered. Yeah, you got good insurance.
Because that's paid for. Now, my thing is, what if I don't claim it? What if I don't have to go just for my routine checkups? What are the benefits to me having to pay it on the other side? Like when I'm filing for my taxes, how can that?
Well,
is there any benefit at all paying that $500 a month?
The premiums you pay are a tax deductible. It's a percentage.
Okay.
Okay, it's not 100% tax deductible. It's on a sliding scale based on your income.
So basically, give me an example of what that looks like. So like if I'm paying $500 a month.
So course of the year, what we're talking about?
12 months.
12 months?
Yeah, it's about $60,000.
No. $500 a month.
Yeah.
Times 10 months would be... $5,000.
Yep, $5,000-$6,000.
So you're like in $5,000-$6,000. So a percentage of that, roughly probably about half of that, they'll give you a tax credit for.
Okay.
On your taxes. But you also can include in their prescription if you got a copay.
Okay.
On your prescription or any other copays you might have.
So all that does, that lowers your income.
Yes.
By that. Yeah. And that works out benefit. That work out for your student loan debt because your payment will be lower because your adjusted gross income is lower.
It's lower.
Yeah, that's the name of the game.
So yeah, it's this insurance game, man, is really complex when you take a step back and you look at all the various components in an insurance, from like you say, health insurance, auto insurance, life insurance, homeowners insurance, renters insurance. It's just a lot of stuff to know and be on top of. That's why it's important to have somebody that you know about insurance you can talk to, versus online.
Well, my thing is, if that's the case, we paying for our insurance, and it's covering me and my wife.
Right.
But that's a lot of money. I mean, that should be. Is that helping somebody else? Is that like helping my neighbor out? Like my man down the street was.
What? Yes, it is. So, it's the law of large numbers.
Okay.
What it's called. And it's saying there's a certain segment of the population that's going to utilize this insurance more than the others. So it might be 15%, 20% utilization higher than the average.
Okay.
So you have to pay into the pot to help subsidize those sickly individuals.
So if I, like, basically me and my wife, she like, you go to the doctor, I go to the doctor. That I get my daily checkup, my dentist appointments twice a year, my physical, like if I need a physical, or I get a routine yearly checkup, I do that. Mm-hmm. So I'll see the doctor about three to four times a year. If I'm eating right, all that, I might go see a nutritionist if I want to, you know,
okay.
You know, things like that. But
probably about $1,000 total that you actually cost your insurance company. About okay. $1,000.
So that's a good benefit. But then somebody else might need, they might have been born with an ailment.
They didn't have
the same ways of life that I had, where I'm able to go to school and do certain things, and they can't produce the same education I produce, but still they deserve a fair shot.
The medical treatment.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what happened. People with high blood pressure, which, you know, is prevalent among African Americans. High blood pressure, diabetes,
yes.
Sugar, as they call it when we were. they got the sugar.
Yeah.
So, you know, all that's, and it's expensive
yes.
to treat. And we've come a long way from research and helping people to understand how do you lower your risk of diabetes and hypertension. So, you know, a part of that whole thing you make in your premium payments goes into research. As well as the actual treatment of the ailment.
Okay.
You're paying for folks that are not as healthy as you are, Charles.
Wow. So, like, when I see that man either smoking a square or having too many drinks, like, stop, man.
You go up there and stop him. You're the health insurance police.
Put the hamburger down.
Drop that fry.
Like, you're costing me too much money. that way when people say only God can judge me, this is my life, I can do whatever I want to do with it. No, you can't, because I'm paying your health insurance.
You're paying for it.
I'm helping you if you have to go to the
for
doctor.
For your poor lifestyle, you're helping subsidize that.
Oh, okay? Man.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Affordable Care Act. I mean, there were people that were in certain categories that worked.
Yes.
But the employer didn't offer health insurance. So it's like the working poor, okay? And this is kind of the driving force behind.
It was a lot of companies, people striking because of that, I remember.
Well, yeah, because companies start taking benefits off the table because it was an expense.
Offer a higher wage, but no health insurance.
Right, right.
That's a death wish.
Or take off the defined benefit of a pension, which is not prevalent today at all. Where if you work for an employer after 30 years, you're guaranteed a pension for, you know, X amount of dollars a month.
That's something that we still got. Thank you.
Yeah.
Even though the insurance costs more, I'm glad I still got my pension.
You got your pension. Okay.
So I can still get them two checks when I retire. Social
right.
Security and pension, and then with my savings.
That's it.
So that's three, yeah. So
your IRA, your individual retirement account, which was started for people that did not have a defined pension plan at work. But you can now actually access that even if you do have a defined pension. But most companies have gone to the 401k.
Yes.
And they just give you a match, and it's up to you to participate and basically manage it. So it's a little more risk involved on the part of the employee. If they don't understand the dynamics of the stock market and how to invest, because a lot of these fund companies, they might bring a guy in once a year when, you know.
They look at your portfolio.
Yeah, if you can make it when he's there.
Yeah.
Okay. But there's not a personal vested interest, okay? All they care about is they get those checks every month from the company that is putting into their funds for the 401k. Now, if you manage it, they could care less, okay?
As long as they get paid.
As long as they get paid. And again, most even the people that they help, if they don't really take the time to break down what they're explaining to how their investments is set up, their portfolio,
yes,
they could still be confused.
That's big. That's big. So basically, I'm paying this $500 a month for insurance, $522.
Mm-hmm.
am I better off to be like, forget it, let me just go to Canada?
Well, Canada has what we call socialized medicine, okay? Well,
elaborate on that.
Where, as a taxpayer, your medical benefits are free, okay? There are no insurance companies that basically take your money in order to provide you with a service. The government basically runs the health care in Canada.
So all them specialized doctors that work in, like, oh, I work as an independent contractor for myself because they can compete with each other, that's out the window.
That doesn't happen.
So they have more of those network doctors that we do have in America, but they have more, they have a focus, like you said, a social network of doctors.
Yeah, yeah, and they basically are paid on a scale.
Okay.
Okay, and in this country, you know, doctors' earnings potential is unlimited. There's no, yeah, there's no
secret. He can write every prescription he want.
He can write as many as he want. He can defraud the government because the system is set up for him to be able to do that.
Mm.
Versus if you are in a socialized medicine, your paycheck, you know, you sign up.
Like a social worker then. You're like a social worker or a teacher. Like, okay, yeah, your salary is this. You got this many hours. You do this, you get this.
And you treat your patients. That's right. And that's, you know, it was a hot topic, again, from the Affordable Care Act. And now, if you watched any of the Democratic convention, there's still talk of expanding that to something similar to what they have in Canada, universal medicine. So, and what it's trying to do still is allow everybody in this country to have medical treatment regardless of income. And whether you agree with it or not, people are going to get sick.
Yeah.
People are going to get old. People are going to die. And they still should be able to receive treatment because most doctors have taken a hypocritical oath that says that they will provide service to the indigent, the poor, because they took this job not for monetary purposes but to treat the people that are sick. But, of course, when money comes into play, that oath don't always stand up.
It got me thinking about something like, there's a comedian by the name of Chris Rock. He said, you got to be growing up, because Chris Rock, a couple of years older than me, about probably like 10 years older than me, he was talking about growing up in his household. They had Medicare, but they didn't have the typical insurance that we had today where somebody else is paying and helping somebody where they don't have to go to the emergency room all the time to see the doctor because they didn't have a regular health care provider. The kids might have one, a Medicaid doctor or something, but when you have a serious injury, you couldn't go to the doctor because your insurance only covered
insurance,
they wouldn't provide it. And then Chris Rock, and it's a joke he made about it. He said you had to be far past Robitussin in order to go to the doctor.
To get treatment
because they finally grew up in poverty. And he said that when his father, he was like, boy, if you can't pull Robitussin on your wound, it's not worth it. But he talked about, he gave an example. He said, I remember Billy was riding his bike and Billy broke his leg. And,
okay.
And daddy was like, get that Robitussin out and pull the Robitussin on that wound, boy.
Well, you know why? Because he got to pay for it.
That's right. So that's why I understand why. And growing up like I did, I know. That's why I'm glad I'm able to benefit somebody else. So it's actually like I'm sowing into a system and helping somebody.
Yes, you are.
That's what I'm doing. It's a ministry on me reaching the point of education I have where I can sow a seed of $500 back that I don't have to use.
Mm-hmm.
It's like almost like a tithe or something that I'm paying into a health system.
That's it. Bottom line. Yep. You know, people to pay a whole lot more than you do.
I know.
Trust me. I was there at one time.
They got 4 or 5 kids. Yeah. It's only me and my wife, so I'm only paying what I'm paying. And I appreciate what God has afforded to me where I can be able to look at it and say, all right, this money that's coming out, I can go long form of my taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Get the
credit for it.
The credit for the income. Earn income credit on it. But then in the same capacity, I can say, well, I'm helping somebody else too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's a win-win.
You know, you hear about stories about people that show up in the emergency room that's got a Blue Cross card or Priority Health card versus the person that shows up with no insurance.
They roll them over to the side and they die.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't. You know, they try not to make it very obvious.
When they give you them aspirin, they say, oh, you can go home now. You done hit your head. You got a large contusion on it. You're like, hey, you go take these two Tylenol, Tony. And, call your doctor tomorrow. You're like, I ain't got no doctor. Well, just pick a number you can call it, emergent care.
Right, and that's the purpose of emergent care, right? The reason for those are that they want you to go to those facilities versus the emergency room. Okay, twofold. Yeah. One is they want the emergency room to be for an emergency.
That's right.
Okay, because, of course, the cost structure is much different.
Yes, and it's expensive, too.
Than when you go to the emergent care. I mean, if you, you know, you're sick and you, you know, you've been throwing up or whatever, you got a, maybe got a fever, then you go to the urgent care center. But if you've been in an accident and you got an open laceration, that is a call for the emergency room. And a lot of times insurance companies will not pay the emergency room visit if it's deemed non-emergent.
So you just like,
you got to eat that. You eat that bill.
That's how people. And then that was, that had to restructure that because
people were taking advantage of it. Yeah. It was being misused.
People was taking advantage of it, but also people was needing to do it, and then it was going up on their credit reports. And they they just changed that law where you can't do that now.
Okay, then.
You know, you can't have somebody subject to that.
Okay, that's not a part of credit reporting.
Yep. They went back on it a little bit, you know, in the history of it. But now they got where they got the universal health care up. They had to help those people out. They had them on their credit reports. They had to move those previous doctor bills.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, and some people still floating around with it. I've helped some clients in the past that just recently that had doctor bills. They was like, man, like 8 things come off my credit report in like 20 days. I was like, well, it was medical bills that you had from 2000, 2007. And it was like, basically, the health care law changed.
It did. Okay.
So you fall up under that stipulation. 2007 was different health care than now.
Because insurance companies run that industry.
Yeah.
And, you know, they started to say that, you know, if you got a toothache, don't go to the emergency room. Go to your dentist.
Okay? They're telling you.
People would go. All
right. And then they wouldn't pick it up.
And so they said, okay, they're not listening. So how do we get their attention?
Put on their credit report.
All right, give them the bill. We will no longer pay emergency room visits for non-emergent conditions.
So now give me bad credit.
Yeah.
So, but still, I need to go see the doctor. So they're going to keep on marching that bill up. But then when the president, Barack Obama, got in, he's like, well, it's time to change this health care to fit this. So now this don't hold us against this person because now we're trying to subsidize it.
Yeah. For them. Yeah, we want to
don't hold that against them no more.
Help those people that don't have insurance, that can't afford insurance.
Yep.
It's the Affordable Care Act is what it is. And then what's the name of the city? The non-emergency room there.
Emergent care.
Emergent care.
Yes.
Yeah, their fee structures are separate too. Because, yep. I mean, when you show up, there's not a slew of nurses and doctors that's standing around waiting to treat you. You may have a doctor on staff, maybe a nurse, maybe a physician's assistant.
It don't cost that much to go to see them either.
Right.
Right.
So, and that's what they're trying to do in order to keep the cost of health care.
And a lot of jobs, people that's employed at certain companies, factories, or like industries, they send them to emergency care first. Like if you get hurt at work, they send you straight to emergency care. And the first thing they do is draw blood or they make you pee.
Oh, I wonder why.
Why do they do that?
I wonder why they do that.
They want to see if you have some Kool-Aid in your blood.
That's it. Because the game changes. Yeah. They find some dirt.
That's right.
The blood
they're not paying that bill at all. They're like, he was intoxicated.
Well, no. You can tell you how that works.
Okay.
Okay, no. They'll pay the bill. But they're going to say, now, in order to maintain your employment, you have to go into a treatment center.
To get rehab or help.
Yeah. It's we're saying that, there's a disease.
Preventive health. Preventive health.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's it.
But, at one time, they would all right just fire you on the spot.
Yeah.
And they said, no.
That was unfair.
No, you got to get a guy a chance.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you got to go through the program.
Stress or something like that, yes.
And if you go through the program, you're successful, you keep your job. But if you fail to fulfill the requirements of the program, or now they got random drug testing.
That's right, yeah. I said they pull their hair and everything.
So now.
That's all part of the health care, though, right?
Well, yeah, and the safety of the workplace. If you will, they want to protect others from those that are, operating equipment under the influence. So they want to make sure that that's not going to happen, because ultimately the employer is going to be on the hook if somebody were to drive a truck and, they nodding on the truck.
Yes.
And they don't see anybody and they run them over. The company is liable. Okay, so the company is looking out for themselves. OSHA, which is occupational safety,
yes,
they're looking out for the workers. So again, a lot of stuff is going into this equation that actually determines what kind of premiums you pay for your health insurance.
That's right.
And then there's the other piece to it is the automobile insurance has a direct correlation with health insurance.
And that's, I remember you talking about that.
Okay.
Almost like in the last fall we was talking. And
yeah.
then you were saying that how the automobile insurance is, they still got that little loophole where they can play that game.
So what they do is if you have medical insurance, now these guys, they want your insurance card. Okay. As a part of signing up for your automobile insurance. And what they want to do in the case of an accident, they want to make your medical insurance the primary payer. So in other words, whatever bills are generated from this automobile accident, they want your health care to be the first to pay the bills. Well, health care said, no, that's not going to happen. If it's an automobile accident, Mr. AAA,
yes,
you pay first. Okay, and it's in, if you look on your insurance policy, there'll be a category, a line item says PIP, personal injury protection. Okay?
Yes.
Which is probably the largest number that you will see on your policy. And that's basically another health insurance number you're paying for. Mm-hmm. So if you're injured in an automobile accident, regardless of what the automobile company tries to say, in the state of Michigan, they pay first. Whatever the cost is, they got to pay.
So then how do they benefit, like, my insurance? Like, I got a teacher's insurance. Why is my insurance so cheap? I know my credit is decent. I got a decent enough credit score. But then I'm talking about.
Well, you're in a group. You're in a group plan.
My insurance, I'm blessed, man. I'm telling you. I'm talking about I got some great insurance.
You're in a group plan. Teacher's union is pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And they can negotiate you some better rates.
I'm talking about like you know, I got a car and a truck. And I think I only pay $165 a month for both of them, full coverage.
Okay. But again.
And I've seen some stories you showed me.
Oh, it's just ridiculous, man.
Somebody, people can't even believe it. Like, that's how much you pay?
Yeah. But look at your PIP. When you look at what you pay for collision,
yes,
what you pay for comprehensive, it's nothing. You say if you pay that a month, so your collision is probably $30 a month. Your comprehensive, yep, maybe $20 a month. So that's $50.
Yep, it's $50. Yes.
So
I looked at it today. I was going, because see, it's my summer. It's my 6-month anniversary.
Okay.
So like it's half of the year. I'm looking on like, and then they'd be like, we want to talk to you and go over it. I say, what y'all going to do? Y'all can't make this no cheaper than what it is.
Well, don't let them get, you know, we talked about limits of liability.
Yes.
Don't let them give you anything less than 100, 300.
It's even on our renter's insurance. It say 100.
Okay.
Even for the personal liability in that. Like,
right. That's a minimum.
That. Yeah.
Minimum that you got to have 100.
And that makes everything else cheaper for the people that you lease it from. They appreciate that you even have insurance like that.
Right. So the purpose behind that is if somebody gets hurt on the property,
yes,
that you invited, okay, the landlord, the owner of the property, normally would be the first guy in line to be sued. But now you have a renter's policy,
yes,
with $100,000 limit of liability that says they got to sue you first.
Okay.
You can't sue us first.
So that's why they
because he invited you to the place, right?
Yeah.
Now, it's different if it's a person that's there looking to rent a place. Okay, they come in and do a review and talk about renting it, and something happened to them, then the owner of the property is liable. But anybody that you invited over there, they're going to sue you first. That's the reason for that, which most of them are going to now. You got to make sure that it's a part of your policy, that they are listed on there as an additional insured with a minimum of $100,000.
Well, I got it. That's why nobody be coming over.
Yeah. At that Christmas party. Had a little too much eggnog.
I'll meet you at
down the stairs.
I'll meet you at the community building or at the restaurant. I'll pay. See me at the gym.
Yeah. But you know what else I found out? Is that landlords that own property and the tenants have a dog. And the dog, and the landlord is aware that they have the dog.
Yes, sir.
And the dog bites somebody, the landlord becomes liable. How you like that? That's in landlord-tenant law. I was reading about that.
So they let them have the dog. Like, say the landlord lets you have a dog in your establishment. So you have a dog there, and the dog bite me.
Mm-hmm.
I could sue the leasing company.
The landlord. The owner of the property.
because they put it in their stipulation he can have a dog and they can pay. They charging him an extra fee for the dog anyway. They carry the dog once a month. Dog, extra $50.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a dog. So that means that's when you carry the dog at $50, they got something already clause for them.
Mm-hmm.
In their declaration pages for their insurance, for their business.
That's why they have on there, no pets allowed.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be held responsible for the negligence of a tenant.
So if you got a tenant and you got a dog and your and you don't have, you ain't tell the leasing company or whoever you getting the property from, your landlord, and your dog bites somebody, you in trouble.
The individual that owns the dog is. Yes. The landlord has to have knowledge.
That you got it.
That the dog is on the premises.
Mm.
And if he knows that and he didn't say anything about it, now he carries some liability.
Insurance is strong.
Yes, it is. This
game is a game. It's a game. You got to play.
Yeah, it's almost like law and medicine. It's something that you continually have to educate yourself about because so many things come up. Okay.
And, new things change and the conditions become what they are.
Yeah. You know what I wanted to do before we get out of here?
What's
I had one piece of information I wanted to cover on life insurance.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to give the audience two examples, and I'm going to use a guy that's 35 years old. And we're going to give him a 30-year term policy at $75,000.
Okay.
His monthly premium is going to be $36.60.
That's not bad.
Okay. And we're going to compare it to a $75,000 whole life policy.
$90 a month?
$90 a month for the whole life. So you take the difference is about $50, right?
Okay.
Okay. So you tell the individual, all right, we're gonna sign you up for a 30-year term policy. There's $50 difference. We're going to take the $50, and for 30 years, we're going to invest that $50 for you, okay? And in 30 years, when his 30-year term expires, in his cash account, he has $75,064.75. So what that says is, in order for him to get the $75,000 from the whole life, he got to be dead. He can't use it.
And that's $90?
$90 a month.
And that's 36? Years.
And this is 36.
And I get $75,000 in 30 years?
Right. But if something were to happen to you within that 30 years.
I still get the 75.
Your family is going to get this 75.
I can come back as a ghost.
Okay. If you live past the 30-year term policy goes away. You have the policy owes you nothing.
Okay.
But what you've done is, You've put your money into an individual retirement account for 30 years at $50 a month. Now you got $75,000 that you can use. You can go prepay for your funeral and go on vacation.
Hmm.
You follow me? For 30 years, instead of paying the $96 or the $90 to the insurance company, you say, nope, I'm going to pay the insurance company $36.
Hey, I'm going to trust them to take the $50.
And no, I'm gonna get a $50 to Tony Williams.
Okay.
Because Tony Williams is going to set up my IRA. And every month out of my checking account, I'm going to put $50 into this IRA for 30 years. And at the end of 30 years, I got $75,000 at my disposal. I don't have to die in order for my family to get it or for me to benefit.
So I got both.
Yes. So that's the difference in when you're looking at a whole life and a term policy. Term is a lot less expensive, but if you take the difference and you invest it, it is as good as a whole life policy.
Big time.
Okay. Then I did one more. A guy 45 years old. I said some people start late in life. So 45 years old for a term is $60 a month.
And it's these terms where you told me before that they don't have to have no blood test or nothing?
No.
Oh,
no, sign up.
I told you I was going. I'm ready. The school year's coming around.
But look what a whole life policy costs.
Oh, no, you got it.
$138 for $75,000. That's 45 now.
I'm doing the one you showed me for me. I'm 38. I already got insurance, but I'm finna go and do that with you. Right around the school time, I'm going to sit down with you, see my increase in my salary, and go on and just take that out and don't even miss it. That's what I'm going to do with you. I told you I was going to do it with you. That's I'm on radio right now. I'm doing that. That's the commitment I'm making. Right in September, me and you going to sit down, and we're going to do that deal, and we ain't missed the money.
Nope. Nope. Set you up with an IRA.
Yeah.
Because remember your wife, you know, she's talking about getting in the workforce, but if she don't, we need to start her with her own retirement account. And it, you know, you could do the $50 a month with her or 25. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's about the compounding interest. of your interest, your dividends, and your earnings.
And that's making that 3% from my job, my raise that I get, work for me.
There you go.
That 3% now, it's going, and 3% gonna be way more than that.
Oh yeah.
When you look at that, the 3% inflation, you're like, well, I'm gonna learn how to lay off this budget, so now I might as well go and pick up these policies.
Yeah, on average, the stock market is going to bring you an 8% return every year. You're going to have your down years, but over the course of that 30-year period, you're going to come in between 10 and 8%. You just can't say no to that.
That's $100. Like, my wife is younger than me. She's like 30. No, I ain't going to tell her age. She's 21. My wife's 21.
21, yeah.
So I'm going to be out $100 a month, and I'm going to have $150,000 in 30 years.
In 30 years.
And $150,000 in life
cash.
Insurance. For us.
That's right.
Both ways.
Not tied up in no life insurance policy.
So I had a life insurance policy, but then I also had $150,000 cash later on with my pension and everything else.
Yeah, sir.
That's like a great deal.
That's like financial planning 101.
That's it. That's it. And I told you I was going to do it. That's what I'm going to do right there. Okay. And we're going to sit down in September, right after the holiday, me and you. And we're going to write up both policies with me and my wife. I just committed to that on the radio. So
okay, radio, so it's going to happen.
This is a real deal.
Hey, man. I got guys that started with $50 a month, and it's like over like 2 or 3 years, they look at their statements. They're like, man.
Where's the money come from? I know how that is.
Wait a minute. You mean I got that much money? He said, can I go to 100 now?
There you
sure,
go.
Sure, let's go to 100. It. You know, I just texted a guy today and told him, you know, he had just crossed over into the five-digit category, okay? he in the 5 digits with his investment. He only been doing it for probably about 3 years.
He looking like, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, he finally broke over to them. Got some more zeros back there.
Yeah, that's a good
thing.
Got
them 4 zeros working for him.
So that's the game. That's what I'm going to focus on that. That's the move I'm going to make right there. That's it.
Yeah, so, you know, and if you got questions about what we discussed today, Tony Williams, Farmers Insurance, you can Google that. Phone number 231-903-0314, 752 Pine Street, downtown Muskegon. Stop in, call me, whatever works best for you, and I'll be willing to help you.
I'm Chauncey Williams. If you got, like you said, universal health care is around. I'm paying $500 a month. But for those people that's out there that you got it now, you got Obamacare or something, and you got those old medical bills lingering, I'm telling you, we can get them off your credit report too. So we sitting here. I'm going to do the insurance. I told him a while back, I'm doing that. I want that $150,000 in cash, and I want the $150,000 in life insurance in case me and my wife dies, somebody left back with something good and great.
Right. That's the purpose.
It's all left with the increase that I'm going to get from the government. So why not let the government work for me in turn? So that's where we're at. We're here. I had this question that I was like, I'm going to ask Tony about this. And this is what this show is about. Basically, things that we go through every single day and we conflicted with. Why not ask an expert that you know in your community? That's it.
These are real life examples.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not making this stuff up. This stuff is real. We live it every day.
We live it every day. And I had a question about it. I was like, I'm paying $500 a month. I'm like, I know I got a tax benefit, but what are these? How is this affecting everything else that I'm doing? Who am I affecting? Who am I benefiting? How am I benefiting someone else? That's what I wanted to know today. And this is what came out of it, audience. So I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
This is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for financial success with 103.7 The Beat.